Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to charge us this morning about journeying into the knowledge of His will. Journeying into the knowledge of His will. Let it sink. Journeying into the knowledge of His will. Before we take scriptures, I just want to tell us a little bit about the will of God. The will of God. But before that, I want to identify some challenges we as children of God are facing and why we are not where we're supposed to be in the will of God. And that's what I call knowledge, the knowledge gap. Knowledge. The difference between a 2-year-old child and a 10-year-old child or a 30-year-old man or woman is knowledge. I have 2 babies. 6 and 7. The only way I'm able to differentiate them psychologically is what they know. One knows, is matured, and the other still talks and thinks like a child, like a baby. Knowledge is the difference between you now and you in the next 10 years. Knowledge is what is the gap between the better you and the you that we can see now. In the same way, God also measures the level of maturity, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, by your level of knowledge, by our level of knowledge. How much of God we know determines how far we go in life. How much of God you know determines how God will relate with you. It determines the blessings that you will enjoy. It determines the benefits you will enjoy. You know, the total package, the full stature, the full nature of Christ itself is complete, is robust. But unfortunately, many of us will not function in that, will not get the full benefit of being children of God or being sons of God because of our level of knowledge. I'll give us an illustration. Okay, before I give us an illustration, I want to say that the journey or the will of God is a journey. The will of God is a journey. I like to repeat myself for emphasis. The will of God is a journey. And the first day we gave our lives to Christ and renounced the works of darkness, we changed destination. We changed destination and we changed path. We changed journeys. So when we say the will of God, it's actually our daily progression into God. The will of God is our daily journey into God. In as much as you are giving your life to Christ, in as much as you have identified with the body of Christ, there is a new will for you. There is a new journey for you. It is called the journey into sonship, the journey into the will of God. And it is progressive. It is determined by how you choose to subject yourself to tutelage. I will give us an illustration on knowledge. How many of us know how to drive here? Now, the difference between a learner, a new driver, and an expert is knowledge. For those of us that have vehicles, probably you woke up one day, one of those working days, and you don't want to go to work anymore. You probably wanted to branch at ShopRite to pick a few things before going to work. And then all of a sudden, you just met yourself. You're already in the office. You just drove yourself. You practically drove yourself. And you discovered that you looked up. You were at the front of your office. What could be responsible for that? You weren't going to office that morning. You wanted to go to ShopRite first. But all of a sudden, you just discovered that you're already at work and you feel like, oh God, I wanted to go to ChopRite. And I actually wanted to go to ChopRite. Let me tell you the difference. The difference is that there was somebody that brought you to that place. And that is your subconscious mind. Everybody says subconscious mind. Now, that's why you're an expert. The difference between an expert and a learner is that an expert can drive without head knowledge. But a learner cannot drive subconsciously. It takes a while. It takes a journey. It takes time. Now, that person that brought you to the office, that's the part of you that God is interested in. The part of you that runs without your conscious effort. The part of you that runs on autopilot. The part of you that is automatic. It is automatic to lie, isn't it? Why? Because lies are in your subconscious mind. Now, you cannot really claim to be a Christian or a child of God until the nature of God has entered into your subconscious mind. Now, that's one of the reasons why Christians struggle with sin. Before you know, you've kissed. Before you know, you've fornicated. And you know it's wrong. It is because you have the head knowledge of righteousness. You have the head knowledge of scripture. But that life has not become part of your mind. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. He said, can we read it together? Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Give me that scripture. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the part God is interested in. The mind. Not your head knowledge. Not knowing that it's not okay to do one thing or the other. But letting that become your reality. Being righteous subconsciously. And that is where, that is the realm of the subconscious mind is your knowledge box. The realm of the subconscious mind is your knowledge base. I don't know whether you have heard something about black box. The realm of the subconscious mind is your own black box. So you cannot really say you've known something until you can do that thing without putting any effort. I would have loved to talk about the life, an example of Jesus. But before we go into scripture, let me tell us more. Let me give us another example. The things we do, the things you claim that you know are not what you really know until that thing has become a part of you, until you can actually do that thing without putting any work. This morning, I want us to know that the hack to live in the perfect will of God, the hack to live or to journey into the life of God, to journey into the will of God, is the knowledge of His will. Is the knowledge of His will. But how can we know the knowledge of His will? How can we know the knowledge of His will? I will not give my example now. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. I will just talk about that example later. Luke chapter 4. Let's look at a template in the scripture. Let's look at a template in the scripture. Are we there? Luke chapter 4. I want us, okay. Okay, is this the version? Okay. Yes, let's use this version. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, no, let's use NIV. He had nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. In another version, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Even after your salvation story, our redemption, and you start reading the Bible, you go to believers class, you join the believers, you listen to scriptures every day. There is a part of your life, or there is a place where we test your knowledge level, and that is Luke chapter 4 verse 1. In the wilderness. There are no angels in the wilderness. There's no comfort in the wilderness. The wilderness is a ground to try, to test whether the things that you really know or the things you really profess have entered into your mind, have become part of you. And that was the same thing. Jesus was not spared. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. So Jesus was not spared. And that is the template for each and every one of us. We must be tested. And a key element in knowledge, if you look at the temptation that of Jesus Christ, a key element is the test of his identity. Every problem you are facing now, just think about them. They question your identity. Every challenge you are facing now, they question your identity. They question who you are in Christ. And that's why Satan told Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God. And in almost all scriptures, you hear something like, who is man? Who is the King of glory? Now, this is a natural law that is applicable to everyone. As long as you are in this realm, you will be questioned. Your identity will come into question. And everything you are passing through is to prove or is to ask, who are you? Is it maritally? You know, I hear some ladies say that, you know, he's a Muslim, but you know, we serve the same God. We serve the same God. And he loves me. Mama, hello. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. You have not realized that your life is a project. Your life is a capital project. You have not realized that the person you marry determines whether you will even fulfill God's perfect will for you or not. You are in a relationship already, within a few weeks, already kissing. And then you go to ask relationship platform, is it a sin for Christians to kiss? Hello. Hello, twe, twe. Hello. Hello. It's because it's an identity problem. It's an identity problem. You just got married. I remember when I just got married. And after a year, we went to the doctor just to be sure that we are fine. The doctor said my husband had low sperm count. And I looked at my life, and I know that even before I got married, I had seen my children. There was no prayer to pray. I just laughed. It's not all battles you need to fight. You only need to know. And that is the only hedge Satan has against you. How can I not give birth? For Christ's sake, I saw two children. It wasn't only me that saw it. Another brother came and told me. He didn't know I was going to get married. He said, I saw your children. You gave birth to them without labor. Okay? So I just got home and started laughing. Because I didn't know what to pray about. I didn't know I don't get it. And the next appointment, it's the same doctor that put big goggle in his eyes. I was like, I'm seeing some hormones. All of a sudden, I started seeing hormones. Not all battles are worth fighting. If you know, our problem, my brothers and sisters, is identity crisis. The devil asked Jesus, put that scripture, is it 3 now? If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Let's continue. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Continue. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him an instance of all the kingdoms of the world. Continue. And he said, I will give you all their authority and splendor. Let's go to the next scripture. If you worship me, it will be yours. Let's continue. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the son of God, throw yourself from the temple. And it's gone. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guide you carefully. So please note the 3 temptations of Jesus. The first one was concerning food, your needs. The second one was concerning, protection. Let's read the last one. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. Go on. And Jesus answered, it is written, it's the devil that is still talking. He will command his angels concerning you to guide you carefully. Continue. They will lift you up in their hands. Is this not the scripture? Okay, so we can agree that the devil actually knows scriptures more than many of us. And he said, Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to test. Again, let's continue. And when the devil has finished all his tempting, he left him for a while. Let's see what comes next. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about did we note what happened to Jesus? That announced his ministry. After the temptations, after the tests, of testing his identity, of testing whether he truly knows who he was. What are the challenges we are going through this morning? You don't have a good job. You don't have a child. What other problems? You want to get married? What other problems? Who will take care of my children? Who will feed my family? In this economy, how will I survive? I want to put it to us this morning. Every challenge we are facing questions our identity. I will give us another example. I remembered when I was very young. I don't know, I just got some screen. When I was young, I used to be very, I had so much swag. I just got this revelation that I cannot be poor. I don't know how I did it, but I said it so well. And then after I married, my husband called me one day and told me that, baby, things are so difficult for us. He said, but you told me that even if I marry a poor person, he can never be poor. You told me that you can make any man rich. I was shocked. I said, does that mean this brother was there when I was vibing? And my husband said, yes, it's part of the reason I married you. That was a test of my identity. And I told him, I don't know why we are going through stuffs, but I can assure you, you are going to be a rich man. See, this knowledge we are talking about must become real to you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it said, but faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith cannot be seen, but it can be touched. If your faith has not transcended to the level where you can touch it, that is not faith. The word of God must become touchable to you. It must be something you can touch, something you can feel, something you can base your decisions up. And watch how it plays out. I'm not promising you a soft landing. I'm not promising you that it's going to come out, just as I'm saying. It's the motivation speaking. Because I've been there. I just got into a wilderness recently. But I want to assure you that hope does not make it a shame. That heaven and earth will pass away, but none of the words he has spoken concerning you will fall to the ground. When God speaks concerning you, or when you read out the word of God, the written word of God concerning your life, the only way you can activate that word is by believing it. The word must operate, it must become your reality. And the funny thing is that Satan is going to make it. You're going to be thrown into the wilderness, and it's going to look as if everything you read was a lie. It's not going to look like anything that you have read, or anything that was told to you, or anything that you claim to be. I said it was so bad those days that we go and collect. We have a malam in our street. We go to collect indomie for the children, and we tell him at the end of the month, don't worry, we'll pay you. It was really bad. It is because you don't know your identity. That's why you're looking for a guy that is okay. You don't know who you are. I'm telling you. See, it got to a point that any suitor coming to me, I check whether they have a car. If you have a car, I will start doubting if you are the one. I turn down rich guys. No, it's just me. And it is real to me. And that's what I'm trying to say, that when these words become flesh to you, it informs your decision. It is actually the subconscious mind that plays out in your life. If you go into marriage thinking that the marriage will not last, or because your sisters have had divorce, or because everything is turning upside down, that it may not really last, I want to tell you, the devil is on your case. Although you say the word of God, that I know my marriage will work, but it is just head knowledge. And as long as it remains head knowledge, it will not profit you. It must enter your subconscious mind. It must become a reality to you. Let me give you another example. When I nearly got married, at a point, about 3 months, I wake up in the night and see a man close to me, and I was like, blood of Jesus, how did a man get here? How did a man get here? You know, that reminds me when the video of our sister yesterday, that the husband was trying to peck her, you know, and she was just doing like... It has not entered that subconscious mind, you know. Even some girls now, they'll start kissing immediately. They are used to it. Well, that's how you know people who have never done it before anyway. So the subconscious mind is actually the ones that plays out in your life. Forget about what you say in church. If it is not part of your reality, forget it. If you don't confess it daily, if you don't take decision based on what you believe, forget it. The only things that play out in your life are those things that are in your subconscious mind. Things that are not, that are beyond your control. It has worked for me several times, and I can say it. They are your hidden beliefs. You don't know, you don't say it, but they are inside of you. Somehow you know that God keeps you, is a wonderful, is a protector, is all these nice names. But when you want to travel, you are afraid. It still happened to me recently. I don't like my husband traveling. I don't like him traveling because, you know, the road is bad. But I woke up about 5 days ago, and the song was in my mind. It said, "Under the canopy." That was the song I woke up with. "Under the canopy of God, my Savior will cover me. Give me." I didn't pray again. That song was just coming to me to judge me. How can you say that you know God and you are afraid to travel? The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. It is because the word has not entered our reality. The word still has no root to stay, to grow. And that is why we are facing many challenges we are facing in life. How many of us single can say, "If God did not speak, I will not marry"? How many of us can take that decision? If I did not hear the voice of God tell me, speak to me about who I'm supposed to marry, I will not marry. Why? Because it's not your reality yet. It's not your reality yet. What is in your knowledge base? What is in your knowledge box? Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." This woman is not, she's not in the same realm like you. She's not in the same realm with you. Daniel, the three Hebrew men, says, "Oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If the Lord we serve delivers us, fine. And if he doesn't, fine." What kind of knowledge do these men have? What do they know about God that we don't know about God? May God help us in Jesus' name. Journeying into the knowledge of his will. How can we gain knowledge of his will? How can we know his will? How can we know his will? And the number one way to know his will is through the word. Everybody say the word. Everything I know, I took it from the scripture and it became my promise. There was no place they called my name in the scripture, but inasmuch as I am now walking in this light, I have a new journey with me. I have a new identity. Then the Bible becomes your promise book. That is the same place I saw that I cannot be poor. That is the same place that said I cannot be sick. That is the same place that said I cannot fail. I will share another testimony. Sometimes in university, you know, it was this very hard course, land law. And then my friend called me that I had an F. I was still in the hostel. I was shocked. I was shaking. I mean, I still preached that Bible study, you know, about faith. I taught faith throughout. How can I have F? And I made a statement. I said, the only reason I will fail is if Jesus Christ failed. I mean, there's some words I make. I actually feel it that something happened. Like something happened. Immediately, I saw something dark, like a smoke broke out in my mind. Ha! I became angry. I mean, I became afraid. And I then calmed down. And then as I was on my way to the lecture to see the result, I saw people coming out from the lecture theater. They said, "What happened?" I said, "The man collapsed." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Nothing. Nothing happened to him. He was just teaching and he collapsed." Immediately, I started asking God, "God, I'm sorry. Oh, it's not like I want to kill him. Just, I don't know. How can I fail? I can't fail, really. I can't fail." So he got well 2 weeks after. And I went to meet him and he changed the grade. I'm just trying to tell you things you can practice. The word is real. If it becomes your own today, it will work for you. We get information about our purification, about our healing. There was also a time the doctor told me I had glaucoma. I'm a very bad girl. I don't know why I always call Jesus. And I told the doctor at FMC or what? I said, the only reason we accept that I am blind is maybe Jesus was blind. And they didn't really tell us. Doctor was laughing. He said, "You just take it easy. Just take it easy. You know, these things happen. We are all human beings." That was what I said. But I did that test again. They couldn't find anything. It works. It works. The word works. He said, I have placed my word above my name. If the name of Jesus is so potent, and God says his word is still more, he still revives word above his name, then how powerful can that word be? I don't know what you're passing through today, but I want us to know today that it's a question on your identity. They asked Jesus. He said, "Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and give King of glory." They still asked him, "Who is this King of glory?" There are legal questions that kofaja. It's not fight. Just answer the question. Who are you? But some of us, we don't know who we are, so the devil will tell you what you are not. How can they tell you are blind and you accept you start looking for money to buy drugs? For Christ's sake, where is the healing that Jesus promised you? Where is the redemption God promised you? If this word has not become your reality, if it cannot play without your conscious effort, then it is not yet part of you. Where are the promises of riches? Where are the promises of redemption? Where are the promises of deliverance? If it's not useful for you, then who? If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, Well, it is the way of the world to try to prove that you are something. See, even if you have money, you shouldn't buy something because you have the money to buy it. Buy something because you need it. One of the reasons, or the way of the world, is that people buy things just to prove their status. That was the same thing Satan used to tempt Jesus. If you are the Son of God, he can turn stone to bread, but he won't. If you are the Son of God, he promised him three things. He said they will give him food, you give him food, basic needs, he will give him power, and then he will give him protection. Those are the things we are running after, isn't it? Aren't the things we are running after? Everybody want to be better. But if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, your response at every junction of your life should be, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. If you are not giving birth, you should not be bothered. Because even in the scriptures, the only person that died barren was a curse. I think the wife of David was a curse. So why should somebody tell you that you are barren or you can't give birth? I am telling you that if these things become your reality, you wouldn't even need to pray about it. I have noticed that we pray more when we don't believe. And the prayers you make, they are not really because you believe that God will answer, but so that in future you can say, Lord, I prayed. Our prayers are ways to clear our guilt. They that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. They will mount up with wings as eagles. The second way to know the will of God is faith. Like I said earlier, faith cannot be seen, but it can be touched. He said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word of God is only operative when it is activated by faith. Faith activates the word. Faith empowers the word. And the way it is, when God speaks a word, heaven and earth, all creation, the word cannot fall. That is, the word cannot fall. The word cannot fail. Heaven and earth better pass away. Faith gives you a knowledge of his will. It gives you confidence. It gives you confidence to challenge situations, to challenge the problems that comes your way. There is an extra confidence that comes with believing God and taking every of God's word for it. Lastly, how to know the knowledge of his will? Experience. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, strong meat belongs to them who have through use exercised their senses to discern good and evil. Experience. Just the same way physical recruiters, they look for people with experience. God also check out for your experience. You cannot say you have faith until you are led into the wilderness. You cannot say you know the word, or that you know the will of God, or that you know God, until you are led into the wilderness. Wilderness is a practice ground. It's a place of experience. Like I said earlier, there are no angels there. It is what you have learned, head knowledge, that will be tested, whether it was internalized or not. It is what you have internalized, just like your bad day. Say, what a bird eats is what it will be for. Like, what bird eats is what we make him fly. If you've not eaten anything, there's nothing to fly, to make you fly. So in the wilderness, we test your experience. You get experience. And it is these 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. It's also symbolic to the children of Israel. The Israelites also spent 40 years in the wilderness to test their faith in God, to test whether they accepted the word of God. But the Bible recorded that generation passed away. It was their children that entered the Canaan land. And why did it pass away? Because they refused to accept the word they've heard. It did not mix with faith. So it did not profit them. It was a generation that saw the acts of God and still did not believe God. It was the generation that God extended the hands of fellowship and they rejected it. And they wasted in the wilderness. The Bible says if God didn't spare these people, then he will not spare you and I. Because even Jesus went into the wilderness. But he came out and his ministry was announced because he passed. I also have my recent experience, wilderness experience, a short one, but I failed that one. But I'm happy. So for those of you that are like me, don't let failure pull you down. It's a word shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of. If you fall, you can rise. How we know that it was a wilderness experience is that even though you failed, you learned. You learned your lesson. You know where you missed it, and you have come back better. So for those of us who failed, you know that there was a major experience. There was a major test you failed. Don't give up on yourself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except you. You are the only one that can separate yourself from the love of God. Don't give up on God. Don't remain on the same spot where you fell. Pick up the pieces of your life and rise again. Lastly, I want to end. Our journey into the will of God is a journey into our identity. The Bible says we don't know what we shall be like yet, but when we see him, we will be like him. But pending the time we see him, he said as he is, he's just giving us a clue, as he is in heaven, so we are. So if you are having challenge, a question to your identity, you are free to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot be barren. I cannot be bound. I cannot fail. I cannot be poor. I cannot go hungry. Inasmuch as God is up, my song is hallelujah. I don't know, there's a confidence that comes with your knowledge of God. And not just head knowledge, but soul knowledge. Soul knowledge. In spite of everything you have gone through, if you can believe today that whatever you are going through is a question on your identity, and this is the best opportunity to tell yourself, he is the Lord Almighty. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. Sometimes you need to announce who you are to Satan. It's not pride. There's a time, I don't know, sometimes in my prayer, I believe I have an oriki in the spirit. When I speak in tongues, I know I'm not praying. I am doing my own oriki. When I start speaking that tongue, I know that, okay, this one is not prayer. It's actually to challenge. The prayer is to tell the gates who I am. It's to tell the gates that I am not alone. It's to tell the gates, this King of Glory is here. It's to tell the gates that I am is with me. It's to tell the gates that he that lives in me is greater than you, that you are in the world. We need to take the challenge this morning and accept it. There is nothing new. Whatever you're passing through is nothing new. It's just a challenge on your authority. When people come for me for counseling, maybe marital issues, I ask them one question. Why did you marry him? If you know, or you can tell me why you married him, that is the only thing that will make you stay. That is the only reason. And that's why. Don't marry because of six packs. I'm telling you, the storm of life is real. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. They better pass away, but the word will stay. But the word will remain. But the word will happen." I tell God, I will sink the word. And it's not possible, actually. We know that the angels, they don't want anybody to sink the word right now. But if I make that statement, they know I'm not joking. If God gave you a man and he's beating you, I want to tell you, you can go and meet God. You can challenge him. The person you gave me is maltreating me. And that is why we marry someone that has rope. Where we can find the rope. We marry someone that has rope on the neck. You know the meaning of that. Someone that has control. We know that if he's misbehaving, we know where to go. I challenge you. If anything is not working in your life, you can go to God. You can go to God. You can bank on his word. Yeah, no, satire, brother. I don't know whether you want to talk to God about the situations you're facing this morning. You want to talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about what you're going through this morning. Talk about what you're going through this morning. It's a question on your identity. It's a what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? If you are the son of God, if you are the son of God, if you are truly a child of God, why are you suffering? If you are truly a child of God, why are all your mates succeeding? Why you are in this spot? If you are truly a child of God, why is your marriage not working? Take your case to God. Let the lion in you find expression. Let the lion in you find expression this morning. Let's talk about what you are going through. Let's talk about what you are going through. It's a question on your identity. It's a question on your identity. And if you fail, you repeat the cycle. It's a question on your identity. Confess the word of God concerning your situation. Confess it until it becomes your reality. Until it becomes the basis for your decisions. Childlessness. He said there shall be no barren in your land. There shall be no barren in your land. There shall be no barren in your land. You don't need to pray about everything. Just hold the word of God. Internalize it and let it become your belief system. Let it project your future. 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 Let the word of God mirror your future. Let it mirror your future. Let it mirror your future. You don't need to cry about it. You don't need to bother about it. He said, "Oh, my God shall supply all your needs. As long as this word is not part of you, you will go hungry, my brother. You will continue to hunger. You will be hungry. You will be hungry. You will be hungry. The Bible says, I have seen the evil thing upon the earth. I see princes walking barefooted and slaves riding on horses. Why are you walking barefooted, prince? Prince, why are you walking barefooted? Prince, why are you walking barefooted? Prince, where is your ride? Prince, where are your horses? Ride upon the word. Ride upon the word this morning. Ride upon the word this morning. Where is your horse? Where are your horses? How can a prince be walking barefooted? Ride upon the word. 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 Ride upon the word.